Well, welcome back, I should say, to me. this is definitely a trial run, a test run to see how far I can make it before the steam gets let out of all of the cylinders. I'll give you just a quick brief update. I'm sure you've heard a lot of it along the way, but the surgery was much more complex than what they anticipated. Instead of just cutting some of the sidewall muscles to rebuild, they also had to cut down below and up above. So that, increased some pain as well as some healing time. But overall, the surgery was successful. And as they were getting ready to close, they noticed there was a problem with part of my bowel. So they had to address that, and that, had to make some changes and some things kind of working through all of that, but was under for a lot longer than what I kind of, everyone anticipated. So that has definitely slowed me down, has definitely caused a bit of a drain in my system. The pain is manageable, praise the Lord. Right now I am having some pain. That's just because, well, movement. It's normal. But the thing that I fight the most right now is fatigue. Fatigue and appetite. My appetite is, I really don't want to eat. But I know I need to. So force things down the hole. But the fatigue is just exhausting. So please do not take it rude that after service today, I'm going to probably have a couple of strong men just throw me in the back of the Acura. Amy's going to throw me back inside the house, and I'm going to take a long nap. A long nap after this. So, and also, my voice is not quite up to its normal par, and that is again to be expected. You have a bunch of tubes down your throat and things like that for 12 hours straight. It's going to be, it's going to be tough. So, I'm healing. I appreciate everyone's prayers. I can't begin to say how much I appreciate that. Because there are times when I know that I am just, I've got nothing left to give, but I know you guys are praying, and it's that strength of the Lord that just keeps me going in certain situations. So I appreciate all of that. I appreciate everybody's well wishes, and while I have not been able to answer everybody and things in that regards, just know that many times it's because I look at it and I set the phone down and then I just like... So don't take anything rude. I'm not avoiding anybody. I'm not trying to ghost anyone or anything of that nature. It's just I do read them. I do appreciate all of your guys' prayer and love and care for me throughout all of this. So right now, just continued prayer is all that I need for strength to get through day to day. So, but I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we find Paul is giving a speech to men of Israel. And we find that he says that in verse 16, where it says, "Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." And he goes through quite a thing with some history about Israel. And one thing that is that we see throughout it is that God has been very gracious to Israel, been very gracious to how he has used them and how he has grown them and how he's been a father to them, as we talked about this morning. But one thing that I want us to think about this morning in regards to what I'd been talking about before I went to surgery is the following of God and how we follow after him and why this is a hard issue. And specifically, in verse 22, here Paul talks about David, King David, and it says, and when he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the time. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you have given to us. Thank you again, Lord, for your blessings, your provision, your comfort, your guidance, your correction. I thank you so much, Lord, for all the continued care that we receive that guides us into your will, that shows us where we need our lives in alignment with you. And, oh Lord, I just pray that as we talk about following some more, continuing in your word, continuing in the paths that you have laid out for us, that, Lord, we would have an understanding of how important it is about what we are following after. I thank you again, Lord, for this time. Thank you again, Lord, for all that are here. And these things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we find here in this passage of Scripture is a very common reference to David and what he has been described as. And David has been described as a man after God's own heart. Now, when we think about that phrase for a bit, there's a lot of things that are kind of come to mind. There's a lot of things that are going to be at the forefront of what it means. There's a lot of different words in there that we're going to, you know, that we can sit there and analyze and think about. But I want us to think about all of this when we explore what it truly means to follow after Christ. Here's David, whom, you know, Paul points out in very specifically, in a specific form, that there is something here that is important, that God specifically calls out about David. That this is something that the Lord has told Paul about. This is something that we know very significantly about what it is that Paul has received information about David and what he is about and who he is, and all of these men of Israel probably are very familiar with Paul or with David. Now, I'll tell you this. Most of us here should know who David is. Most of us here have an understanding who David is. And when we think about David, there's a lot of different ways we can think about him. We can think about him in a sense of him being young, and we can think about him and all the ways that he sinned, and many times people do. We can think about some of the great achievements that were in his life that were given to him by God. But what we see in this passage is the principal tool by which we follow after our Lord. And it is a heart thing. It's a heart thing. You know, let's put it this way. Following can take place in so many different ways. You can follow in so many different ways. When we think about this, you can you can follow somebody physically as a trend. As a trend. You know, I'm not sitting up here in this chair because of a trend, folks. Right. All right. I'm sitting up here because I'm tired. And praise God for this chair. That's all I'm going to say. You know, and I'm not dressed like Mr. Rogers because of a trend. Because this morning I looked at it, I looked at the closet and I said, ain't happening. It just ain't happening. So, I'm not following after a trend, folks. But people can follow after a trend. You know, they can mirror something, a pattern visually. They see something that somebody that they think is an influencer or whatever, and they follow after that person. And they follow after those things, and that drives fashion, and it drives design, and it drives all sorts of different things. So people can follow after something where they mirror some sort of a pattern that's visual. Remember when bell bottoms were a thing? And they came back for a little bit, disappeared, all sorts of stuff like that. There's cycles, right? We think about another way is you can follow somebody in the form of ideology. You know, there's individuals that will follow after individuals such as Jordan Peterson or even Charlie Kirk or others that are out there that are trying to espouse certain ideologies. And some people, they will follow after them and follow after that type of concept. And the idea is to reproduce and have some sort of a repetitive output following that ideology. Another way that somebody can follow something is to follow for selfish reasons. They can follow just because of what they get. Oh, we find that in Scripture. Some of the people were following Jesus Christ just because they got free bread. Some people were following just because they happened to just get a healing. There's various different reasons about why that can happen. You know, somebody can follow somebody just because they admire someone. Maybe someday they want to become that person one day. Someday they have this idea, this mentality of, hey, one of these days I'm going to be like that person. People see that with sports celebrities or other individuals or things like that. And they see this mentality of who these individuals are. And I'll be, you know, clear, that's not the right reasons to follow people. Those things that we just talked about are not the reasons why we should follow individuals. That's not why we follow. A true follower is somebody who does by looking at what the desire of an individual is, specifically one that is leading, and what it is that they love. Because a lot of that stuff is just superficial. I mean, you know, let's talk about David here for just a moment. You know, there are people that want to, you know, epitomize David, who he is, what he's done. Don't follow David. David was a man of God. Well, yeah. But don't follow David. Follow who David was following. Amen. I mean, David was a man's man. I mean, you know, if we're going to start judging manliness here, there's a lot of people that think they're manly. When's the last time anybody in here decided that they were going to go wrestle a lion and a bear? And win? I'm not talking about making, you know, making them scared and watching them run away. No, I'm talking about like in a fist fight with them. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. You know, we have this sometimes this Sunday school ideology of who David is. You know, this meek and quiet little young man, and you know, just a little shepherd boy. That's not David.
No.
Dude was tough. I mean, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to go up and grab hold of a black bear and start having a fist fight with it. I know what the outcome is going to be. But you read the description. I mean, go over to 1 Samuel. Go over to 1 Samuel. And let's go to 1 Samuel 16. I want you to see this description of David. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, let's take a look here at verse 12. And here comes the least of Jesse's sons. And he sent, in verse 12 of 1 Samuel 16, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Now, the guy was a handsome guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a guy that you look at and you go, oh yeah, he's pretty good looking. Some of the other guys are kind of like a little jealous, maybe. I mean, I'm sure he's probably one of those guys that came in and, you know, he'd set down his pack on the, you know, the table for the day and, you know, brushes the dust off of his well-toned, flexed muscles. And why he was the least of them, well, I have no idea. I don't know why. He's because he's the youngest, right? And here he is. And he's definitely no Saul, where he's standing head and shoulders above everyone else. But at the same time, the guy's pretty easy on the eyes. And at the same time, he can take on a bear and a lion. Take a look at what it says here in verse 18. And he goes through, you know, Saul's going through this difficult spiritual time in his life and he needs some good music. And I'll tell you this, get some good music in your life.
Yeah.
Get some good music in your life. I'm in the, I'm up at OHSU and this CNA comes in. And he said he might listen in every now and then. So, David, if you are listening in, this one's for you. His name was David. Go figure, huh? And he was talking about how he didn't sleep well at nights and stuff like that. And I said, well, how do you go to sleep? And he kind of gave a little bit of a routine. And then I said, well, you need to change some of the music you're listening to. And he said sometimes he'd listen to some of that, you know, that meditative type music.
Yeah.
I said, be careful where that comes from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I know some of it is, there's some stuff with it, and I get that. But also at the same time, be careful what it is. Because he says that doesn't make him sleep. That causes him greater distress. I said, just go find yourself some good old hymns. Find yourself some good old spiritual songs, hymns. Doesn't have to have words. Find something.
Amen.
He comes back. And see, this is why I love friends like Bob. Bob will set it up so that everyone will know that you're a pastor. First day I'm there, he brings me a hat that says, "Pastor warning. Anything you say or do can or could be used as a sermon illustration." And it's sitting up there on the shelf, and everyone sees this, and they're like, "Wait, are you a pastor?" Yes. Thank you, Bob, by the way. Thank you for that. No getting away easy off this one, all right? And I'm there, he sees that. And so he says, "So you're a pastor of a church?" I said, "Yeah." And he says, "So can I call you pastor?" I don't care. So the whole thing, he's calling me pastor. All these nurses are looking at him like, "What in the world?" Doctors are like, he comes in, pastor. And he says, "I tried it the other night and it worked." It worked. You know, that was a blessing. It's an absolute blessing to hear that. But here's Saul having some struggles with that. And they're going to go find somebody because they don't have CDs and they don't have the Spotify and they don't have playlists and things like that. So they drag the original playlist called "The Guy" in there, and they find this guy who's going to play. And I just so you know, Saul was not a guy that surrounded himself with weak men. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that when he found guys that were goodly, that were strong, that were wise, he surrounded himself with them. I believe the Lord blessed him because of that. He made some pretty stupid mistakes, but so do we. Even when surrounded by the best of counselors. But I'll be very clear. He wanted to surround himself with guys that were good. And guess who the Lord puts in these individuals' minds to go out there and find is the one that's going to be the king? David. They find David and they go and they find who's going to play well. And in verse 18, it says, "Then answered one of the servants and said, 'Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing.'" He can definitely play what we need him to do. He can definitely do exactly what is needed here. But I want you to notice what else he is. And he is a mighty, valiant man. Meaning, he isn't some stripling of a little thing. Now, look, I want to be clear here. The size of your bicep, or the size of your thigh, guys, or the size of your neck, is not the measure of how much you are of a man.
Right.
You want to know what the measure of a man is? How much you follow God with your heart. I don't care how much you can press. It says here, and it says, "And a man of war." A man of war. He was familiar with combat. He was familiar with combat tactics. I don't know whether or not he had been in any battles at this point in time or not. I mean, you kind of get some impression that he was kind of one of those war junkies, based off of what his brother said about him when he showed up. And they're like, "We know the naughtiness of your heart. You just came to see the battle. You're here in your pride. What are you doing? Go home." That type of thing. But here he is, and he says he's prudent in matters, a comely person. But look, at most importantly, the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. You know, the Lord is great about using sermons, illustrations. And Bob, again, thank you for that hat. So I had a little bit of a relapse, and I wound up having some issues, and I went back to the ED up at OHSU, and they kept me overnight for some observation. And in comes another one of the CNAs, and this guy, he's this little stocky Filipino guy, and I could tell he was Filipino because he was wearing a knit cap that said Filipino. I'm not being racist here. He was advertising, okay? And he comes to take my blood pressure and stuff like that, and he looks at me in the bed, and he goes, "Good grief." He's like, "You're a monster." Never been called that before. Definitely lost a little bit of a weight, but, you know, hey, whatever. Float your boat there, buddy. And I'm just like, oh, okay. He's like, you do a lot of working out. I said, I worked out when I was in college. Does that count? And he's like, oh, man. He's like, you know, what was your favorite, exercise? And I said, I loved leg presses. He's like, how much? He said, I bet you were doing like 300 or something. I said, I was pressing 5. And he looks at me, he goes, oh, he says something in Filipino. I don't know what it was. And he's just like, wow. And he's just all enamored with this. And he's like, I bet you played football. I said, no, I'm not a football guy. I said, I'm more of a racing sports. And he goes, really? It's like, you got a race car? Sort of. It's technically a track car. And he just kind of chuckles and laughs and things like that. And many times when I'm in there, and I would, you know, they'd have me stand to go for walks and stuff like that. And I'm standing next to these nurses, and these nurses are like 5 something and a quarter. And I stand up next to them, and they just like, oh, you're big. Oh, whoa. Yeah. And I was just like, that's not a measure of a man. I'm not saying that to boast about me. Trust me. Because if we're measuring things by how I'm a man in the form of muscular stuff, no, that's not me. That's not me. But this is what Saul saw. He saw this mighty man, this valiant man, this man of war, this man that was prudent, this man that could play musical instruments. David's already got one up on me. I can't do that. And here he is doing all of these things, but it was the fact that the Lord was with him. It's the fact that the Lord, that this was something that Saul was missing in his life. Because of Saul's mistakes, that connection was not there that it should have been. But what we find in this passage is we find that you know, so many times people want to mirror other people in Scripture. People want to be a Paul. I've heard so many preachers talk about, I want to be a Paul. I want to be able to have that voice. And you read through Paul's stuff, and Paul's got conviction. And Paul's got confidence. But Paul says he's rude in speech. Some people say, oh, I want to be like an Apollos, an orator. And there's a big difference between an orator and somebody that can just speak. There's been a lot of great orators. I'll give you an example. Abraham Lincoln was... Excuse me. Abraham Lincoln was a good orator. Billy Graham was a good orator. There's a lot of good orators out there. And then there's some guys that get up there and frost and spit and unravel themselves. And you got the team in the back ready with their little EEDs, you know, or AEDs, whatever they are, to restart his heart because they're afraid he's going to die on the stage. And everybody's got these people that they want to mirror and they want to be. Look, if the Lord's called you to preach, don't do that. Don't pick up somebody else's patterns.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're not mirroring somebody. That's not following. That's not godly. There's so many times that individuals in certain places, they would come out of these certain colleges and they would, what would they do? They would sit there and they would have the same clearing of the throat because that's what the president of the college did. Because he had a problem with his throat. So they thought that was godly that they had to clear his throat the same way. Look, you don't run around wanting a bunch of mini-me's. And praise God, dude, you know what? We don't have a bunch of mini-me's. Mike and Chris, John and Josh and Dan, they don't preach like me. Thank God. I'm my worst critic. Good night. I'm going to go home and I'm like criticize everything about this. But you understand what I'm saying is when I look at all of this stuff, it's not about following after some sort of physical thing. When we talk about following God, we're not wanting to follow in a physical pattern. It's so much more than that. And what you know, but by the world's definition, David was a man's man. David was a man's man. But what God saw was different. God didn't see all of that. What God saw was what David was pursuing. You know, we talk about following, and sometimes I dare say we get into this habit of saying that following is something that is easy. It's just, just next person in the line, you know? You see that, that's the direction you're going, that's the direction we go, right? Following is so much more than that. Following is done with intent. David knew what he wanted. And it wasn't because he wanted something that was like the way Lucifer wanted it. He didn't want the position. He didn't want that power. What he wanted is he wanted to love what God loved. And that's what produces a good follower. That's what produces a man of God. That's what produces a woman of God. Sometimes we get involved in those gender-specific things. And, you know, you have the men, you know, they're talking about what it means to be a man of God and a woman, what it means to be a woman of God. And we have all those passages of the meek and quiet spirit and so on and so forth in various different genders. And I get that in two genders.
Amen.
Clarify here. But what we're talking about specifically in this regards is we're talking about, and I understand why those things are, but look, what you're looking for is you're looking for someone whose true heart is what God wants, what His desire is. That's what makes the difference in somebody that is just following a trend or a person, and somebody that is following Jesus Christ. You know, what sets David aside in Acts chapter 13, if you go back and look at that, what sets him aside is this desire that's in his heart. a man after mine own heart. God realizes that this is what he's pursuing. God realizes that this is what David truly wants. And I will tell you this, David was never condemned for it. David was never condemned. As a matter of fact, David was lauded for it by God. I mean, if you were to stop just for a moment, and yeah, here's a little conviction. If we were to think about this for a moment, how would God say our following is? Am I following just because that's what my folks do? Young people, can't even snap my fingers anymore. Not working. Young people, pay attention. Listen up. Don't follow God because your parents followed God. Follow God because God is worthy to be followed. Follow God because you've seen the fruit of God in the lives of other people and you desire to have God's fruit shown in yours. Did you catch how I phrased that? Not that you would get fruit in your life, but that God would show fruit in yours. Because that's how it works. You want others to see the fruit of the Lord working in you. The fruit of the Spirit working in you. It's not about how much you get to boast about your fruit. It's about God's fruit. That's what you should desire. Don't go to church just because it's mom and dad's church. Now look, if your mom and dad say go to church, go to church. Okay? Why? Because it says children obey your parents in the Lord. Amen? Okay, but I'll tell you this, go to get something. Yeah. Go looking for something. And again, don't go to try to get. Go to try to give, and then you will get.
Amen.
That's a bit, that's how that all works, by the way.
Yeah.
But as we think about this, you know, about what the Lord is saying about how David desired his heart, that this was his pursuit, that this is what his life's goal was. We had to do our year-end reviews recently. And it's, you know, sometimes I find those HR things a little mundane. But I will say this. It gives you an idea of, okay, what goals have you accomplished? Or are you just punching a time clock? And I will say this. When's the last time you ever took account of what goals you have in your Christian life? When's the last time you sat down and said, hey, what's the goal in my Christian life? I'm going to challenge you. Now look, I know everybody's, you know, got their things about journaling and so on and so forth, and I get that. But I believe there's something about it when you write it down. What do you want? Answer that question. What do you want? What do you want to do for Jesus? What has Jesus already done for you? And then finally, answer this question. What is your Christian? And when I say Christian, follower of Jesus Christ, what is your Christian objective in this life? And look, we can all say, please God. That's part of the will of God. Let's parse it out just a little bit further and ask, what is your goal? What's your objective? You want to build a church to 200 people? You want to build a church to 2,000 people? You want to witness to one person, see one person trust Christ as your Savior? David just simply said, I want to know God's heart. Let me ask you this. Do you think you can know God? Do you think you can know everything about Him? No. Let's just be honest, right? His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We understand that. David understood that because he kind of understood those things. But let's just be very apparent. That didn't stop him from saying, I still want to know what the heart of God is. What the heart of God is. You take a look there in Acts chapter 13, in verse 22. And I want you to notice this. And it says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Somebody that is in pursuit of it. But I also want to point this out, that it was after. I think that that word was used for a reason. Because everything about David was after God. In both senses. That it was both pursuing God, but David came second. It was God first, then David. David was after God. God was before David. That's the only way he could defeat a giant. That's the only way he could defeat wild animals. I mean, some of us couldn't even fight off a chihuahua. I mean, we'd be mauled by a kitten. I mean, but that's the only way, because, and that's the way that David described. He said, when he told Saul, he said, that's the only way I was able to defeat those, is because of the Lord giving him strength. The Lord giving him strength. The implications of that word are so large when we start thinking about after. When we think about what that truly means. I want you to think about this for a moment. I don't think that was the talk of the town. I don't think David went around and bragged about how he did those things. I think if it came up in the course of a subject, he would make mention of it, just like he did with Goliath when he said, that's the only way you're going to beat this guy. Because there was no other man there that took the offense that David did. Go back over there to 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we have in 1 Samuel 17 this description of who he is. And this continual harassment that comes. And then David is sent up to bring some cheese and food to his brothers. And when he comes and he arrives at the camp, he comes and he salutes his brethren. And in the middle of them talking, here comes the daily, whatever you want to call this. Mocking. And he says here, and as he talked in verse 23, when he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And what were those words? Well, that he said, and that we find that back in verse 8, where he would stand and cry unto the armies of Israel and say unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul, choose you a man for who and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. They were afraid of this. They were dismayed by this. This shook them to their core. And David hears this, and what does he see? He doesn't see a bunch of guys sitting there like, I mean, you know, we'd like to think a bunch of Marines. You hear something like that, and they may be blown half to bits, sewn together by some corpsman that had a needle and thread, and what do? They start gearing up, and they're ready to go to fight again. These guys aren't like that. These guys are running with the tails between their legs. And he says, and he saw, and all the men of Israel, when he had saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And this is what they see. And David's like, who is this guy? Verse 26, and David spake unto the men, stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David's getting mad because this guy's mocking God. Rightfully so. You know what God's desire is? God's desire has always been one to show the compassion, the care, the love, the mercy, the grace, the truth, all of the things that we can find in the Word of God. So when a man follows or a woman follows after the heart of God, and that is their pursuit, this is what becomes the principal part of that passage over there in Acts. Is when they begin to realize God is greater than anything. God is greater than a giant. God is greater than a lion. God is greater than a bear. God is greater than anything on this earth. God is greater than any tribulation you will go through. God is greater than the worst day of your life. God is greater than anything that could ever possibly happen to you in this life. And what do we find? We find right here that this is what a follower of Christ will do. They will mirror that. They will mirror that desire. They will mirror that will. They will mirror those concerns and, if you will, the core devotion of the heart of Christ. We talk about following. And I want to make sure that we understand what following really is. Following just isn't marching in step. Following is an active pursuit of God Himself, His heart, what He cares about, what He concerns Himself with, and what it is He loves. Can it be said of us today that we are men and women after the very heart of God? Or are we just following a trend? Let's stand for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today and maybe you realize that there's something more to this life than just following a crowd. Maybe there's something more to this life than just ambling through life haplessly, hoping to find something. David found true purpose. And that true purpose was following the Lord he loved. If you're here today and you have not received Christ as your Savior, that's the first step. That's the very first step. And if you're here today and you haven't done that, I encourage you to come forward. Somebody will show you from the Bible what it means that you can have an eternal home in heaven, that you can have forgiveness of sins, that you can have a new life in Jesus Christ. Christian, today, if you're here, and maybe you realize you're not really following. You're just kind of in the toe, following in the drift. Purpose today. Purpose to follow Him. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank You again for this time. Pray, Lord, You would just continue to bless during this time of invitation, Your work in our hearts. And Lord, may we sing these praises to You and who You are and what You have done for us. And these things I ask and pray in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.